Well, hello, my friend, and welcome to a very special episode of Cultivating Healthy and Vibrant Workplaces. I hope you are doing well and ready to embrace 2023 with vigor and wonder. I know I am, and so much so, I'm working on the script for this podcast after a solid night's sleep, and on a quiet Sunday morning after meditating, I am feeling clear-headed and ready to take on the world, or at least the week ahead. For this episode, I thought it might be timely to offer a glimpse into our book as we are approaching its release in the coming weeks. But before doing so, for my opening Keeping It Real commentary, I thought it might be fitting to address the pink elephant in my world, that is, my jitters about our book's launch. So here goes. Last night, after watching the last movie in the wonderful Downton Abbey series, I was feeling a bit down and came to realize that it was likely attributable to my anxieties about the launch of our book, which naturally prompted me to check in with Mr. Google. And sure enough, post-publication blues is an actual common condition that can afflict and catch authors unaware, certainly first-time authors. Let me contextualize it this way. Have you ever worked on a project for so very long, or in my case, 15 months, and poured everything you had into it, literally 24/7, and potentially at the exclusion of other important projects and time with friends and loved ones? And if so, how did you feel after said project was completed? Elated? Tired? Anxious? Unsure of its receptivity and impact, or maybe other emotions? Well, that is exactly how I feel this weekend as our book is about to be released. And how did you recover? And what did you do? If you have any sage advice, certainly drop me a DM. Well, thankfully in my situation, I have many other projects that need my immediate attention, such as the launch of our 2023 certification programs that I will speak to momentarily. And I also engage in self-care practices and have the support of family members and friends who keep me grounded. But without question, experiencing profound anxiety and overwhelm before the launch of a book or any major project is very real for me, and maybe for you also. So here is my game plan. I'm going to remind myself that we took every measure possible to ensure our book provides our readers with valuable insights and inspiration. And while I am undeniably a perfectionist, something I will likely work on to the day I leave this planet, I will take comfort in knowing that any critical mistake, edit, or omission that might have been missed will not be a life or death matter and can be corrected in the future thanks to today's print-on-demand services. Yes, in the final analysis, all we can give and do is our best. And yes, without question, there will be those who may not see the merit in or value of what we create, or who may have opposing views, or for whatever reasons, may choose not to recognize or celebrate our achievements. And that's okay, for we know the profound intent and efforts behind our work. And we know that what we created was born out of a desire to be of service to others. So on that note, Peter and I hope you get as much enjoyment and value out of reading our book as we did in preparing it. Additionally, it would mean so much if you would post your thoughts and comments on Amazon, if that's where you happen to buy our book. And with any luck, you might just help us reach a bestseller status, which would mean the world to us. Now, before I commence reading from our book, I want to take this opportunity to let you know about our 2023 certification tracks that are beginning January 30th. Our global, innovative, progressive certification programs offer hands-on, experiential-based training to both wellness professionals and enthusiasts new to workplace wellness, and also to experienced workplace wellness and HR leaders working in various roles and capacities. I'm excited to also share that we have added new features to our 2023 programs, including new presenters and the assistance of highly talented and award-winning global workplace wellness leaders who will be supporting both myself and our program participants through their extensive experience and achievements in this industry. Now, to be considered for one of the 20 spaces in our 2023 tracks, interested individuals are asked to sign up for one of the program webinars being offered this January, and then meet with me in a discovery consult to discuss their career interests and suitability for one of the tracks. This year, we are dedicating 10 spaces for wellness professionals and enthusiasts looking to become certified in this industry, and 10 spaces for internal workplace wellness and HR leaders looking to expand or diversify their roles and gain master level certifications for advancement in this field. As our programs are very skills and outcomes oriented, with a strong mentoring component both during and post programs, we will be capping enrollment at 20 individuals to ensure we have the capacity to provide optimal support to each participant to help set them up for success. So if I've piqued your interest and curiosity, I encourage you to sign up for one of the information webinars being offered this month, as well as check out our program pages via the website links in the show notes. Or certainly email us at info@workplacewellnesscoe.com to receive a link to one of the webinar replays, and then to schedule a discovery consult to be considered for any remaining spaces in our tracks. Now, it gives me great pleasure to share with you two profiles from our book. The first reading is an account of an inspiring grassroots efforts and achievements of Deepanjali Sapkota, a graduate from our programs, who is blazing trails in her organization as a wellness change agent. The second reading profiles Lisa Elsinger, an innovative, highly skilled, and talented workplace wellness leader who has been advancing the well-being of the people at Broward College by creating strategic alliances and partnerships. So let's begin. Grassroots Workplace Wellness, How One Change Agent is Making a Difference. Every employee can become an influencer and an agent of change in developing healthy, vibrant workplaces. However, as reflected in the following lines and in this profile, grassroots efforts take time, and worthwhile changes are never easy nor linear. It's much easier to throw out commands, edicts, and vision from the top down and simply expect or demand change to happen. Grassroots change requires a lot of trust and takes a lot more effort around communication, engagement, and buy-in. Some of the challenges change agents might experience include low interest in or support for fostering a healthier work culture and minimal buy-in or alignment with the organization's vision, mission, and core values. Another potential hurdle may be pushback and resistance from command and controlled natured leaders. Now, here is the upside. When approached strategically and inclusively, the benefits of grassroots movements far outweigh the challenges and hurdles. Without question, some of the most impactful and sustainable changes within organizations are those initiated and led by employees. Switzerland-based Deepanjali Sapkota, an NLP practitioner and graduate of our programs, is one such change agent who has been leading the charge and sparking a movement within her organization, the Global Fund for AIDS, Tuberculosis, and Malaria. I can still recall her passionate email inquiring about our programs a few years back. As a longtime advocate of personal employee well-being, she was most excited to become certified through our programs to further advance her skills and resources as a workplace wellness professional. As an associate specialist and member of their well-being working group, Deepanjali's efforts and achievements are a living example and reminder of what's possible when we leverage and nurture our compassion and support for the well-being of fellow employees. Deepanjali disclosed in an interview for this book that helping others is part of her DNA and upbringing. So when her organization was undergoing a massive restructure, she felt a calling to help support her peers through the transition. Here is what she had to say about her efforts in helping create a grassroots wellness program during this challenging period. A major restructure in 2011 resulted in many employees being let go. It was tough. I remember feeling helpless and not knowing what to do. However, being on a path of personal development and a student of neuro-linguistic programming, I understood that I had the innate power to manage my stress and possibly help others with theirs. So out of discussions with another colleague experiencing a similar restructuring, we combined our passions and skills and started a lunchtime mindfulness program that we appropriately named Affinity Group. As word got out, interest and participation in our small group increased. Then Deepanjali went on to elaborate that the primary objective of their affinity group was to provide employees with a safe space to gather and talk about personal and work-related challenges and concerns. Somewhat ahead of our time, for example, mindfulness programs were still relatively new in organizations, she acted on her own volition. She shared, "We simply sent out a few emails to colleagues and it grew from there." Hearing Deepanjali's story brought me back to a stressful year when I worked as an employment counselor with the Social Services Department. The local economy was going through hardship and community needs were high. Staff were burning out by the minute, resulting in many stress leaves. To help us cope, we formed a small but mighty lunch hour Bible study group that met weekly. It became our sanctuary during a most challenging time. I asked Deepanjali to reflect on what the workplace wellness value proposition meant to her and how she might define it. After giving it some thought, here is what she offered. The workplace wellness value proposition is about how we help our people be more human on both personal and organizational levels, an imperative for the 21st century and this pandemic. It is a conduit for enhancing emotional competencies and emotional intelligence. As humans, we are evolving. Workplace wellness is evolving. It is about honoring the being. We've become excellent at human doing, but somewhere along the way, we forgot how to be human beings and the importance of simply being to nurture and bring the best of ourselves to our life, work, families, and communities. Workplace wellness is the way forward. And as a side note, I was just so thrilled hearing her share that workplace wellness value proposition and what it meant to her. So having lit a spark for what might be possible, their small but mighty affinity group inspired the formation of a wellness committee that they named Wellness Working Group. She shared that they were most fortunate to have the support and involvement of the organization's chief of staff and other HR team members. Through their collective efforts, they helped shine the spotlight and mobilize action on various employee and organizational wellness needs and issues, including the desire for flexible work arrangements. Deepanjali shared that the Wellness Working Group hopes to eventually establish a Wellness Champion Program using the Champion Program module and four-part Champion Training workshops she acquired from our Level 2 certification program. Leveraging the knowledge, skills, and resources she acquired from our Executive Wellness Coach certification program, Deepanjali is also helping support the creation of wellness initiatives for their managers and offerings for their teams to help nurture team well-being. Also on her radar is the creation of an inclusive workplace wellness charter and linking wellness initiatives to organizational key performance indicators. Through their grassroots efforts and initiatives, they hope to inspire the development of a comprehensive organization-sponsored wellness program. Now, what's most impressive to me about their wellness pursuits and achievements is that they have been endeavored and accomplished without a wellness budget or dedicated funds and entirely through staff volunteers. I am continually in awe and inspired and impressed by her unwavering commitment to fostering a healthy, thriving culture for her organization and people. It was particularly encouraging to see her efforts recognized through their organization's Promoting Integrity Award, a most fitting and well-deserved honor. Employees and leaders inspired by Deepanjali's efforts, I leave you with some considerations and suggestions for how you might initiate, cultivate, and support a grassroots wellness movement in your organization. Grassroots wellness movements are typically championed and led by employees. Wellness initiatives driven by employees are often more likely to be accepted, embedded, and sustained. Managers and senior leaders are encouraged to sponsor, champion, communicate, and commit to employee-led wellness movements and initiatives. And lead by example. Be an inspiration for others. Own and nurture your wellness first and foremost. You might also join or form employee resource groups around emerging needs or interests, or help initiate or volunteer to serve on a wellness committee or advisory group. Or you might sign up to become a wellness champion or establish a wellness champion or wellness buddy peer support program. You might also offer to lead weekly or monthly wellness discussions or presentations in your team meetings or departments. And reach out to your wellness, HR, or occupational health and safety department to perhaps volunteer to lead wellness initiatives or facilitate wellness presentations. So that concludes my first reading. I'm going to share now a second profile in our book, and it's titled Forging Alliances and Strategic Business Opportunities. As emphasized throughout this and other sections of our book, workplace wellness and HR leaders can be great promoters and facilitators of cross-silo leadership. Similarly, there are immense opportunities for them to help initiate and lead organizational alliances and strategic business partnerships in the pursuit of healthy, inclusive, high-performing work cultures. Lisa Elsinger, the Associate Director of Workplace Wellness in the Talent and Culture Department of Broward College in Florida, United States, is the living embodiment of the value workplace wellness leaders bring to organizational partnerships. I learned of Lisa's incredible work and achievements through her involvement in our Workplace Wellness Professionals Facebook group. At my invitation, we met in an interview to explore her workplace wellness leadership philosophies and initiatives, and how she came to chair the college's Future of Work team, a group established to respond to, create, and mobilize work structure changes necessitated by the pandemic and other driving forces. We started the interview by discussing the importance of identifying and establishing the workplace wellness value proposition. Lisa believes that the workplace wellness value proposition is cultivated and revealed by creating a work culture that emphasizes and models the benefits of encouraging, striving, growing, connecting, and committing to a purpose larger than ourselves. Simply put, the workplace wellness value proposition is manifested through organizational efforts that foster a human-centered workplace. Lisa expanded on our thoughts with these powerful proclamations. Our workplaces should not contribute to the detriment of people's health, but rather nurture their well-being so they can flourish. As a side note, I loved, loved, loved this comment. Moreover, workplace well-being should be less about managing people's weight, for example, and more about managing the conditions that influence overall health. To help optimize the workplace wellness value proposition, she suggests employee health and well-being should not fall solely on the shoulders of workplace wellness leaders. Rather, it should be a collective responsibility to create healthy workplaces and environments where people can thrive. When asked how organizations might leverage and contextualize the workplace wellness value proposition in today's dynamic and uncertain climate, she pensively responded, We need to call attention to the personal growth and adaptability that has occurred, along with the ingenuity in maintaining workflow during an exceptionally challenging time. We must avoid thinking that we are going back to pre-pandemic conditions and stop referring to the new normal, which is now a cringeworthy term. There is no normal, only variants of what can work in certain contexts. We will eventually settle into routines again, which will make our brains happy and more functional. However, we should always be forward-looking and explore what is possible regarding process improvements, work-life harmony, and how we work. As with others I interviewed, I inquired about her approach to garnering leadership interest, support, and involvement in the college's wellness offerings. Her responses were intriguing and compelling, particularly her comments about finding the detractors of workplace wellness. She believes it is critical to seek out the detractors, the influential few who do not understand the importance and value of workplace wellness, and who may negatively impact employee engagement in wellness initiatives. In her view, a detractor is someone who doesn't feel that workplace wellness programs are worthwhile and perhaps believes that resources could be better allocated elsewhere. They may also perceive employees as units of work. Lisa shared that it's her mission to discover why they don't believe workplace wellness and employee well-being initiatives are vital or worth investing in. Upon considering her response, I added that organizational leaders with this mindset might be part of or contributors to dysfunctional or toxic work environments. Individuals who might very well benefit from training or coaching in empathic leadership, humanizing the workplace, and supporting employees as whole people. So why bother with the naysayers? Well, Lisa believes there's much to learn from them. Their opinions, for example, might have been influenced by poor experiences in wellness offerings or the way workplace wellness has been portrayed. Her approach, therefore, is to identify these individuals and educate them on the true value of workplace wellness. She feels that by working together, they could become part of the solution, and with any luck, might transition from opponents to allies. We also discussed her perspectives and strategies around developing alliances within the college and cultivating inclusive workplace wellness initiatives for employees by employees. Lisa commented, "One of the first things I started doing in my role with the college was to promote the importance of supportive collegial relationships. One of the many ways she fosters strong working relationships with leaders and employees is by educating them on the importance of self-care and taking wellness breaks to build capacity and productivity. For example, in her education sessions with leaders, she might begin by introducing ergonomic tips, as they are often perceived as more functional and less intimidating than maybe other wellness concepts. Or she might explain their employee assistance program services and walk them through the website and the registration process. She also frequently connects with managers to learn about their department's activities, wellness needs and interests, and any work or personal wellness challenges they may be experiencing. Then, hearing them out, she might offer to meet with them to collaborate on potential solutions. Now, here is the clincher. According to Lisa, when workplace wellness leaders bypass this critical stage of inquiry and relationship building, or have a predetermined solution to a perceived need, it may result in misaligned or less than strategic responses or initiatives. When asked about her superpowers as a workplace wellness leader, Lisa really lit up. She commented that it is perhaps her ability to forge solid working partnerships and her propensity to help with volunteer events at the college. One example that came to mind is when she helped college staff package donated food products for community giveaways. Not only did this help her become more visible to employees as a wellness leader, but it also elevated recognition of her role among college leaders and executives. However, what was most important to her was being able to serve her students and community in a meaningful way. She recalled how, at this event, the topic of her newsletters came up. Now, not missing out on this opportunity to connect with leaders on their level, she asked what topics they might like to see covered in her weekly wellness features. From that discussion, she learned that one leader was concerned about the efficacy of specific masks early in the pandemic. Responding to such, she found valuable data to offer this leader, further strengthening his view of her role and what she brought to the college. She commented with a twinkle in her eye, "The next time they have a pandemic or workplace wellness related question, who do you think they might call?" Another simple yet illustrative example of how she nurtures connections with senior leaders is when she leveraged the college's newsletter to feature quotes from a Monday motivation initiative started by an employee. She realized the impact of her efforts upon receiving a message from a VP thanking her for promoting this employee. Lisa and I also discussed how her contributions to and support of the college's employee resource groups have been instrumental in helping her connect strategically and purposefully with employees and leaders. She elaborated that through employee-led ERGs, employee resource groups, you learn firsthand about employees' needs and interests and how best to serve them. The college has several ERGs, including the Fun Fleet, which coordinates social activities, Embracing Multiculturalism, which celebrates the rich diversity at the college, VEG ERG, which promotes plant-based eating, a veteran ERG, and others currently under development. The ERGs are highly engaging and have grown into solid and welcoming communities. For example, one ERG called Stronger Together, Sisterhood in the Workplace, helps women support and encourage one another, find strength in themselves, and mitigate the imposter syndrome that often plagues women at various stages of their careers. It also provides women at the college with volunteer opportunities. While supporting the ERGs, Lisa often works alongside an executive sponsor. She also encourages the active involvement of mid-level leaders in these groups and continuously explores opportunities to fortify partnerships with them. Cultivating mutually supportive relationships with college leadership has paid off exponentially, both personally and in her role as a workplace wellness manager. The most humbling and gratifying outcome? Well, she was asked by the Vice President of Talent and Culture to serve as the chair of their Future of Work team. Now, I can assure you the importance of this appointment was not lost on me, as high-level, prestigious roles are often assigned to a CHRO or HR director. So eager to learn more, I asked her to expand on how she landed such an esteemed role and assignment. She believes it was in recognition of her active outreach to leaders and employees during the pandemic and her efforts to support the organization's COVID task force. For example, she frequently responded to requests for pandemic-related information, which resulted in her preparing a pandemic guidebook for the college. As chair of the Future of Work team, Lisa helped establish pandemic response protocols and structures. She also did her part to foster within this team a high-performing work group with mutual trust, psychological safety, and commitment to excellence as some of their values and attributes. Throughout our discussion, a compelling truth kept surfacing. As workplace wellness leaders, when we work from a visionary and strategic growth mindset, we can be much more effective in creating impactful programs and healthier work cultures by and for employees. In concluding our interview, Lisa offered these additional tips for workplace wellness leaders to nurture solid, productive relationships with senior leaders and managers. 1, continually align workplace wellness offerings with organizational goals, objectives, and strategic initiatives. Illuminate the impacts of employee well-being on organizational and department growth and performance. Continually promote the connection between health and well-being and professional competence and enhanced performance. Get to know leaders at all levels, their wellness and professional needs and interests, and meet with them periodically to forge collegial, mutually supportive relationships. Get to know the chain of command and each person in it. Find out what leaders are reading and where their interests lie. Cite current literature, both from research and mainstream media. Be available even on short notice to the degree possible to present interactive wellness sessions to departments and team meetings on topics of their choice, and listen, observe, and aggregate feedback to address identified needs and interests. And lastly, she shared that if challenged in accessing and forging a connection with executive members and directors, get to them through the grapevine. For example, include in your messages to them testimonials of your work and employee wellness wins and success stories. And be professional and articulate in written, verbal communications and presentations. And that, as they say, is how it's done. High fives, Lisa. Well, that concludes our second episode. I hope you found the profiles insightful and inspiring. As a reminder, you are encouraged to check out our upcoming programs via the links in the show notes. And if they speak to you, sign up for one of our upcoming information webinars via the link below. And also, sign up for our book interest list at our website, workplacewellnesscoe.com, to be notified of its availability. Till we meet again, be well and keep on keeping it real. Bye for now.